Okay, we'll begin Bezos Hashem. We are Chavis Halvavis Shar HaTshuva Perek Hey toward the end, Utnoya Kabbalah. Various aspects called applications, enhancements of the fourth requirement of tshuva. The fourth requirement of tshuva is Kabbalah, resolving not to do the Aveira again. This is the fourth of Charata, regret, Vidui, confessing it, articulating it. What he called, the Chavis Halvavis is interesting, framed that as Bakosha Samachila. That's how he framed Vidui, asking for Mechila, abandoning the sin, and then resolving never to do it again. So now he's going to give us a few applications or enhancements of this last requirement. Utsunoya Kabbalah, the various applications, enhancements of Kabbalah, of resolving, of the resolution, of the resolution not to again do what Hashem has warned against. These are also five. One is sheyishkoil arvus mehira v'kale me'urbeves. When you're considering the pleasure that you gain from an aveira, the gratification, the relief, whatever benefit or pleasure you get from an aveira, consider the fact that it is fleeting, it passes, and it isn't pure, meaning you never get the full good feeling out of it because something of a struggle there. And besides that, when you're actually tempted to do the Aveira, and you just think 5 minutes ahead in time, I'm not going to be reaping the benefit anymore. I don't know if you're talking about facing the temptation to rob a bank, then maybe it's a little bit different. You say in 5 minutes, I'll still have the benefits. But generally speaking, when we're tempted with doing an Aveira, we're very much caught in the here and now. So it's just think 5 minutes ahead, think 10 minutes ahead. Will you still feel as excited about it? Will you still be enjoying it? Compare that, this very momentary fleeting pleasure, with a pleasure that's going to come later, but it is going to be eternal, pure, absolute, without any other aspects mixed into it. There won't be anything mitigating that joy. This is obviously Chazal's cheshbon, right? Of having a chashiv schar mitzvah, can I get a seido? Schar aveira, can I get schar mitzvah? Can I get a seido? Epsu aveira, can I get schara? So that's number one. And when you're considering that a mitzvah might involve some distress, might involve some discomfort, or refraining from an aveira might involve some distress or discomfort, but once again, it's also going to be fleeting. It won't really have that much of a lasting effect. In contrast, that with pain, the stress that will come later, masmid, but it will be enduring, ein lo hefsek, and it will never cease. Like it says about that pleasure that will come later. Those of you who will refrain, withstand, overcome the temptation right now, and then will wait to reap the benefits later on, you'll see it, you'll be so excited over the fact that, wow, I'm happy that I waited for this, because it doesn't compare. Vama ala tsar, it says about the enduring tsar. It talks about in the end of days when it says that the tzaddikim will go out and they will see the corpses of the people who had spited Hashem. It says, when it describes how the fires that they're tolerating will never be extinguished and the worms that are eating at them will never die. So, the point being that, yes, it's ongoing tsar. If you really contemplate this point, then it will help you resolve taka not to repeat the sin. I mean, the point being, apparently what he means to say is that when we're talking about resolving not to do the aveira again, you have to find means of sustaining that resolution. Right? It all comes together at the same time. Person has been doing a certain aveira, right? He's been, up till now, he's been indulging in lobster, knows he shouldn't, but now he wants to make the change. So we're saying that there are two things involved. You have to stop. Tonight, plan a different supper, turkey, something, right? And besides that, you have to resolve not to do it again. Now, seemingly the two are one and the same. Right? I'm stopping to do it. I'm resolving not to do it again. But he's saying, no, there's two separate aspects here. You want to do tshuva right now, in the here and now, you got to stop, right? But now in terms of the resolution, you're now going to have to find means to sustain that. You're going to have to find means to maintain it. A month went by. You stopped doing the aveira. But so the aziva sachet you did. Right? That part you did. A month went by. You haven't been doing the aveira for a month. But the resolution part is still in effect. It's still relevant. You haven't finished with that part yet. So now the question is, a month went by, 2 months went by. What steps are you going to take to sustain it? So here, basically, what he's saying is, this is what Chazal called, according to Mishael Tisharam, this is really the basis of learning Musar, what we might simply call. Learning Musar, learning, contemplating, finding sources of inspiration to keep you away from doing it again. So this is the classic example that Chazal give of contrasting the pleasure that I stand to gain, what I stand to gain from the Avera, with what I stand to lose. What I stand to lose from not doing the Avera, from doing a mitzvah, with what I stand to gain from refraining or from doing the mitzvah. So that's one thing. To put it down practically and simply, find sources of inspiration to keep it up. That is a part of the avoida of the Kabbalah, the resolution not to do it again. Hasheni, what's number two? Sheiten eliboy boyoy mamisa. Is to really consider the end, the day of death. And consider the prospect of reaching that last day while you're in a state of disfavor with Hashem. In your earlier failings in living up to what Hashem wants. So a person should, what he's telling us is that part of the resolution not to do it again is to be living with a constant sense of the Yom HaMisa, of what's coming. Now, I want to stress that you have to be careful with this, because if it's just going to get a person down and depressed, it could sometimes paralyze a person. It's not the idea here. And if that's where it's going to take you, so then don't go this route. Let's stress again that he's suggesting enhancements in order to really make it work, to ensure it, to take it to the next level. But as we've often discussed, contemplating Yom HaMisa does not have to be that. If we just think of the Yom HaMisa as something depressing, that's when it all ends, then it is depressing. But if we don't think of it in those terms, thinking about the Yom HaMisa can actually be a source of motivation. It doesn't have to be something depressing. If we really live with the realization, with the knowledge that that's really when life begins. That's really when life begins. That's when we're really going to start experiencing life. Everything we're experiencing up till now is a very intermediary stage, a very preparatory stage. Hashem decided to create you. This is not the you. This is not yet the you. He decided to create something eternal, immense, that will be living for billions of years. Your body is not going to live for billions of years, right? This is mamish, the stage of the hatching. It's the stage of the hatching. Preparing for that, you really begin. Now you're incubated in a certain egg. You're not really exposed to the real world. Very specific things that you have to set in place before you start living. Hashem gives each of us the opportunity to set up our lives as we choose. Set up our lives, meaning when we really start living. Here in this world, it's a limited existence, something of a dulled existence. We're not really experiencing what Hashem intended for us to experience yet. You're given certain guidelines as to how to begin your existence when it really starts. And if you live with this realization that once you make that transition is when you really start living, when you really start, quality of life takes on a whole different meaning. It doesn't have to be something depressing at all. Now, this is easier said than done, no question, but that's why I'm saying it. It's easy to say, let's say it and hope that that's how we'll make it penetrate. But we certainly know, we've been exposed to people who simply were not afraid of the moment of death. It was just about doing everything in my ability to be properly prepared. I knew somebody here in the neighborhood who I went to a shiva when his father passed away. I went to a shiva. His father was from the old school. And this person was describing how toward the end of his father's life, in the hospital, already like in and out in terms of drifting in and out in terms of consciousness. And they always, I mean, they knew it was coming. It was a matter of a day, 2 days, and weren't sure. A week was at that stage where you don't know when, what. And he was still on and off in terms of conscious, aware. And they were with him the whole time. There was somebody in the family there the whole time. So this person here from the neighborhood, he said at one time when he was doing his shift, when he was sitting here with his father, and his father was at the time asleep, said he had a roommate there in the room, an older non-observant person. And he said he noticed that he kept watching. Then at one point when his father was asleep, this man said to him, he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I used to be the secretary of one of the very anti-religious political parties. Many years back, said he was the secretary of one of the very anti-religious political parties. And he said, I want to tell you something. He said, I've been lying here now. He says, he knows where he's going. I know where I'm going. It's already toward the end. And I'm starting to really consider that perhaps I made a big mistake. He said, I don't know you. I didn't know your father. I still don't know him. But one thing I see, he said, that you people know how to die. So he said, you know how to die. So I'm watching a person. He knows what's coming. And he's just completely at peace. Just completely at peace, completely at ease with what's going on. There's a very moving tzava'a from Adam Gadol, I had this course of having a relationship, we can call it that. Rabbi Chaim Lifkovich from Bnei Brak, he was nifter some 8 or 10 years ago, I'm not sure exactly when it was, where he left a tzava'a basically requesting that, if possible, he does not want to be sedated toward the end. So I don't know what's going to be. He doesn't want to be sedated toward the end. He was left at the age of 97. Why? So he cited there a Zohar describing the bliss of the moment that a person passes into the next stage, the moment that a person passes away, how the Shekhinah is waiting there, ready to embrace him. And he said it's a moment of unbelievable bliss and ecstasy. And he said, if at all possible, I want to be conscious and focused in order to really be ready to live the moment. Conscious and focused, meaning at the moment that he's expired, right? This is what he was asking for. So if we really are living with the reality of what it is, then it shouldn't be something that gets you down. On the contrary, the way the Chavos Avavis puts it elsewhere, is that it's something on the one hand, you're actually looking forward to it. This is a tall order, I understand. But on the one hand, you can actually be looking forward to it if you're busy contemplating this all the time. While on the other hand, as you see it approaching, it's approaching every day, right? You are busy doing more and more in order to be as prepared as possible. So it's motivating. It doesn't have to be depressing. But if you find that it is depressing, and if you find that it is getting you down and paralyzing you, then don't utilize this Eitzah. Okay. So that's number two. In order to maintain the Aziva Sachet, to live with that consciousness of the end approaching. Or again, like we shouldn't say that. We should say live with the consciousness of the beginning approaching. Okay, we'll end with this for today. Continue.